Hi, this is Pat Cardone.
And I'm Ryan Siebert.
We're here today with John Goldman and Mike Black of the Black Gold Team with Wintrust Mortgage, and we're going to talk about home lending construction. What's your idea about that, Ryan? Because we want to like take a look at this basically from the idea of the consumer.
Well, as we talked about on our first podcast, it always comes down to having the money, right?
Amen.
You got to be able to fund the transaction, whether you're going to buy a first-time home or you're going to build your dream home. You've got to be able to have the money to finance that deal. So it comes down to, number one, being able to do it, but also being able to work with people who can actually make that transaction it's not so stressful for you. I was at a breakfast seminar this morning. They talked about the consumer experience being the most important thing in the service industry, where you can give an awesome pay, you can give great timelines, but it's ultimately that experience the consumer has that allows them to want to refer to you.
So basically you're always looking to try to create cheerleaders.
Exactly.
And I'm sure these two guys know it, as they're one of the largest lending teams in Chicago.
You guys want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Mike Black with Wintrust. Been in the business for 14 years, and construction financing has been a specialty of mine for about as long as I've been in the business. So, very familiar with it. John can speak for himself as well.
John Goldman, I've been in the lending and building business for going on 20 years. And Mike and I have been working together for a little over 5 years. And like Mike said, we've really developed a niche, or this is a niche, for construction lending. In a void that we felt has been left in the Chicago marketplace especially.
Well, what I found is that there's a real naivete of the people coming in trying to build. They don't have a clue what they're really putting themselves in for financially or, even asset-wise, what they really need. So let's just talk basically first about your products, and then we'll go into the application of those products. And then Ryan and I will probably have specific questions about asset-based stuff and other more exotic things that maybe you guys can do or can't do. You can tell us, because what we're doing here is just education.
Sure.
This is all about education.
Well, as long as we don't use any more French words, we'll probably be
of course. Yes, we're good on that.
We'll be in good shape.
We're in good on that.
So I guess also our construction program here is one of the best, I think, in the business. We're looking at 15% down.
Does that have a maximum limit or anything?
15% down up to $1 million loan amount,
okay.
Which is extremely aggressive in the marketplace.
Okay.
And, our five-year arm typically right now is I think about 3.5%. So you're looking prime minus 0.75 points for construction lending. It's pretty unheard of. So what we're looking for at this time would be to make sure we could find people to help create value through this construction product.
Right.
And that's one of the things that Mike and I are focused on. You could talk about that. It's a big thing of how to create value through construction. And like you said, partnering up with great Chicago builders like you are one of the key elements to starting it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the nicest part about construction financing that, we love to do is that when you're out there looking at properties, when you're actually trying to find that in a low inventory environment, one of the things that construction a perm loan does for you is creates inventory. It helps create inventory. So what I mean by that is there's a lot of properties out there that need work. There's a lot of properties out there, 2, 3, 4 flats, we can deconvert down to a single family residence. Our product's strictly for primary residences, single family residences. So, we like to use this to help create inventory in a low inventory environment.
Absolutely. I just was talking to your partner, Ryan, up in the foyer, and he's gone through the same experience up in Glenview, looking to try to find something that he can fulfill his wife and his dreams, and he can't find it. He finally found one in a needle in a haystack.
I think it was his 10th house.
Exactly.
And I think he went through 9 of them. So.
Exactly. He kept calling us, come take a look. It's like, okay, we'll come take a look. But it's like some of these things and some of these areas are so overly priced, even the base level on these things, you can't do much.
Well, that's an interesting point. So Mike and I talk about this all the time, which is creating value. We try to go to the real estate market and the agents of the market and say, you want to be a superstar. You want a raving fan. You want to be a superstar. Go make your client hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Amen.
And how do you do that? Well, I mean, come up and buy a 2 or 3 flat that needs serious work. It's falling down. It's in a great area. Go to gentlemen like you, borrow the money, deconvert it to a single family, and you could be in for several hundred thousand dollars less than a new construction single family, but you're comped directly against that. That realtor has now created a raving fan. Because let me tell you, if you made me $200,000 on my house purchase and I got my dream house, I'm going to tell everybody about you.
Right. I mean, and that's really where negotiation and knowing your market comes in. Because, I've got one client who bought a house for too much money, trying to squeeze into a price. Then I've got other clients who are trying to make money. So,
yeah, yeah.
And it's driven by life events.
Yeah.
Children
Absolutely.
Drive this. Lots of events that happen that all of a sudden I got to move. We just had a meeting with the Home Builders Association, and one of our fellow home builders just finished a project of his own. He got a zoning variance for 10% variance on an R3 zoning to take a 2-flat, make it into a 3-flat, right? He's only got 9-foot ceilings, but all of a sudden he's got the top 2 floors for him and his wife. Bottom, middle, first floor is rented, basement is rented.
Mortgage free.
Mortgage free.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah, mortgage free.
And when you talk about creating real wealth,
yeah,
it's hard to accumulate wealth in the world today.
Oh yeah.
And you know, one of the things that we really preach is, if you're going to buy a multi-unit and you can do work to that multi-unit yeah. building, you're creating cash flow for life. So you talk about, you know, putting away $5,000 a year to save your kids' education. How about if you have two other people paying your mortgage off for you, 15 years your child goes to college?
Plus a minimum of 3% in growth market in the market.
Minimum. And investments, you know, when there's cash flow on a property, it doesn't just become your home, it becomes an investment.
Right.
Now you're spending smart money. You know, right. And that's, you know, Mike could comment on multiple times when we've gone and done rehab work or taken units and even single family homes to create true value.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal for class.
Absolutely. And I think the other, you know, nice part about, you know, actually building it, A, you put your own touch to it, you put your own spin to the property.
Right.
Most people are going in and remodeling properties anyway after they buy them. But when you're talking about gutting or, you know, a tear down.
Or adding a floor.
Or adding a floor or adding an addition to your home. Now you're comping out to other comps in the neighborhood that are going to be in a better condition. You're bringing it up to a better condition comp. You're bringing more square footage into the place. And like John said, I mean, it's really just creating wealth and value. You know, one of the things that our clients love about construction financing is that during construction, their costs are super low. I mean, it's interest only.
Right.
You know, it makes it affordable for you to go through and do your construction.
Can you explain so they understand how the interest only
works?
So when we're looking at
financing, you know, a construction project, we're looking at doing draws during the process. So let's just say you own a property free and clear, the lot. I'm just going to use rough, you know, even numbers for example. And let's say, you know, your construction project's going to run you about $500,000. You're going to have a draw set up with your builders and with your builder in terms of pulling money out to do the construction. So during the construction phase, if you start out with a $0 balance just to keep it even, and you need $100,000 in phase one on your first draw to begin construction, you're only going to be billed during construction on what's drawn on the loan, and it's interest only. So it keeps your payments very affordable during construction. This process takes place until the construction is fully completed. So in phase two, let's say you need another draw, and now you're at $200,000 in your balance. You're paying interest only on the $200,000, you know, until you get to all the way to the end of the final draw, which is $500,000 loan amount. So keeps your payments very low, affordable during construction. It gives you some breathing room to, you know, build and to keep things low on the payment side of things. And so our clients love that aspect of the construction.
Well, and the critical part about that is typically when we're doing as much work, like when we do projects with you guys, you're not doing a $25,000 or $50,000 job usually.
No.
So you're doing $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 of work.
Minimum.
You're adding roofs. You're dormering. You're adding another floors. You're taking a bungalow and making it a 2-flat. You know, 2-story, 3-story. It's not habitable. So you need to have a residence while you're doing the construction. So
there
Mike's point is that, hey, if I'm paying interest only on a $500,000 loan at 3.5%, you know, I'm paying a nominal, you know, $1,500 a month, you know, on an interest only basis, I can still afford to live in my current home and not live through the construction, which one, you know, is miserable.
You don't
and
have
number
to live
two,
with your in-laws?
Yeah. Yeah. I would love living with my in-laws, but I don't think
that's
my wife.
Nice.
I don't think my wife would feel the same way. But you know, and the nice part about this program, and why Mike and I's clients really enjoy this program is, we have a built-in hedge. And let me explain what I mean by that. After our construction is up in 12 to 15 months, you don't have to go back out into the marketplace to get a loan. Our construction loan converts into a fixed rate, into a ARM, either a 3, 5, or 7 year ARM. Which does not, it's when it's locked at 5 or 7 years, your construction time frame, the 12 or 15 months, does not eat into that lock period of the 5 or 7 or 3 year ARM. So someone could go ahead and essentially get a 7-year ARM, have 84 months of that lock rate, and our construction rate is the same as our lock rate up front. So your whole construction is based on your end loan rate. Now, when your construction's done, if fixed rates are, you want to convert into a fixed rate, we'll refinance you, pick up all your closing costs. Great, no problem. But let's say that rates are 5.5-6%.
Right.
We have our conversion already built in to your loan, which has been locked 12 to 15 months ahead of time.
Right.
It's one of the greatest products because that's a great feature.
That's a great safety feature.
Yeah, it's great. No, we're all about creating safety in construction, which is a hard thing to do sometimes.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean,
the other great feature about it that our clients just love is that, you know, we take the value of the lot plus the cost of construction, or the value of the home plus the cost of construction, and we actually lend off the after appraised value.
Right.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
So
yes,
if your value of your lot is $500,000 and you own that free and clear, and you need $500,000 worth of construction done on the property, you know, now we're up to an after appraised value of $1 million. We're gonna lend up to 85% of that after appraised value for your construction. Not that you need all of that,
right?
But to have that feature on there to say, wow, they're gonna take my future appraised value and lend off of that in order to get me into my new home and get my new home built, it's untouchable. So
let's talk problems for a second. Let's just say we go into a 1-year loan like that, or say a 15-month loan for that, and the buyer wants to overimprove, right? So they dip in to the point where, you know, they keep spending, where it can't possibly be finished at the price they want.
Okay? Back to the value. The value of the home is not enough.
That's what I'm saying.
So
value's not
enough. $1 million home, but they want to spend...
$1.1 million. Right. How do you guys deal with that in the end? Because the bottom, I know it's tough. These are tough questions, because this is something I've run across with people asking, what happens if we go over?
What happens, and how do you avoid it?
Well, Mike could explain... I'll have Mike pick up on the, you know, what do we do about it.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, the way to avoid it is by having quality construction partners that know what they're doing up front.
Amen.
Obtain their bids. Make sure you do your research. And like I said, the reason why we refer guys to you all the time is because we never have to worry about this happening with you guys. That's the key thing. But Mike, what do we do when something like that happens?
I mean, through the underwriting process, we'll look at, we'll do what's called a contingency factor. So we always are looking out for our clients. We want to make sure that our clients are protected.
Mm-hmm.
So we will actually take a 10% contingency factor, meaning that, you know, we will add an extra 10% cushion into the picture.
Use your $500,000.
That 10% is based off your original construction budget, correct?
Yeah. So you
it's built
a,
into.
So
it.
You give me a construction budget of $500,000.
Right.
We're gonna allocate $550,000.
Perfect.
Into the picture to give you cushion in case you were to go over.
Right.
Now you can't get crazy, because if you do, if you do go way over budget, that comes out of your pocket. But we want to make sure that when we put that loan together for you, we explain that to you up front, and we make sure we leave the cushion there to give you breathing room on any sort of mishaps that would
happen. And the reason is because Mike and I, you know, we've done tens of millions of dollars of these loans.
Oh, absolutely.
Construction, and once again, I said we'd stay away from French words, but stuff happens.
Yes.
In construction.
Amen.
So, you know, you don't know, especially when you're doing a rehab, when you open that wall up, sometimes there's little green monsters in that wall.
Amen.
And those green monsters end up costing a lot of money to get rid
Amen.
Of.
How difficult is it to dig into that contingency? Is it?
No. It's there for a reason. We explain why. We justify it. But I think even to your point is, let's say you blow through your contingency. Then what? And unfortunately, the part is, when you're doing a construction loan, you know, you got to be what they call in balance. So the client would have to then have an extra injection of equity into the deal.
Right.
So, you know, once again, it's all about counseling up front, and it's also about dealing with quality people.
And what do you guys consider equity? Let's get back into the actual underwriting of this. What do you consider? I mean, now, let's just say someone has a condo that they owe $300, it's worth $600. How much of that can they use?
We've got all kinds of mechanisms for that, but you and I just went through this recently with another client where they needed to tap into their equity in their home.
Right.
So the nice part is you're still living in your home while your home's being built. And as long as your home's not listed on the market, your current residence that you're living in while your new home's being built, we've got we got mechanisms and vehicles to put in place, home equity lines of credits, to tap into your existing equity to create a channel for you to be able to pull equity out of your current residence from. So I recommend doing that regardless towards the very beginning of the process.
Safety cushion.
Safety cushion. It's a reserve account for you. If you need it, it's there.
So you recommend taking your current resident, putting it on an interest only, having an equity line based off of that to help make sure everything's going to get done.
Yeah. I mean, let's say you have $300,000 on your home and your home's worth $600,000. Right when you're at the very beginning stages of thinking about building, I recommend taking a line of credit at least up to 80%. 90% we can get them done. I've got some options that'll take you up to 100% on that. Not that you want to do that.
Right.
My recommendation
is that called loan sharking?
No, it's not. It's actually not.
That'd be tied to the rate.
It's actually not. But in my world, yes, it is. Because I want to make sure that everybody's got enough cushion so that you're not strapped to the wall when you go to sell your house.
Yes.
Right. 90% is kind of my cutoff.
I'm with you on that.
And I think that the critical part of this is the reason why we advise people to go into a home equity line of credit is because you only pay on what you use.
Right.
Home equity line of credit is exactly like a credit card.
Costs you nothing if you don't use it.
It's just like a credit card. Doesn't cost you anything to have that credit card, maybe a small annual fee, until you tap into it. And, you know, problem is, once you're in the midst of construction and things are going, and you start to say, oh no, I need it now, the way things flow, it never is as easy. Because now you have all this extra debt, meaning your new project that we now need to calculate into the ratios and you know the income level, so it makes it more difficult. So Mike's points won't take
to get money
it. Do it up front.
When you don't need it, then when you actually need it, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, I recommend that usually if you're thinking about building, do that, you know, 6 months out.
Okay.
Right. Put that line of credit in place.
Right.
It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. As long as you have, you know, decent credit. When I mean decent credit, I mean they can get down to about 680 above on a credit score. Put it in place early. Don't wait.
So that home line of equity doesn't count as a potential payment on their credit reports, right?
Not unless they draw it.
Okay.
So
when they're coming to you getting this initial wraparound loan, they got this line of credit, they got zero on it, you see nothing.
No harm, no foul. We see it, but we don't, but it's okay. We know.
Right.
We also know what the intention is. And I think it's also critical to remember that when you're building your house, this is your house.
Right.
Okay. You're gonna find things that during the process that you want to change. You're building a place for your family to be at.
That's true.
So sometimes things A don't always go to plan, but B, your taste may change, or you may look at a room and say, you know, it doesn't feel like it's gonna flow the way that we thought it would.
And that's running. That's sometimes trying to rush into a project.
Right.
Rather than taking the time to price everything out ahead of time and just saying, I gotta close, you know, a seller wants their money. So if you're giving them money for a house, they want their money, you got to close.
Well, you know, that brings up another good point for us, and you couldn't have been a better advertisement for us, Pat, so I can't thank you enough. But one of the great parts about our construction loan is that you don't need a permit to close our loan.
Nice.
So we could go, as long as you got specs, budgets, and plans, that's enough for us to go ahead and get our future value appraisal. We'll close the acquisition of your property.
Nice.
We will not fund any draws until, except for the acquisition, until permits are issued, because we would never lend money on a non-permitted building, but we could still take care of the immediate concern, which is the seller wants to close.
Right.
So we could handle that. So it's a good feature that we have.
Yeah. So that end of rushing through, how early in the transaction, I should say, how much before the transaction occurs do you want to meet with those clients to discuss what your affordability is? Because we've ran into issues with clients who they've got their lot picked out, they want to go, they've got to close
in 60
days. We don't have the plans even in hand yet to do the bidding. And you guys can't do much of the transaction.
You know, I think if you can get ahead of it 6 months out, that's a great time
frame.
Because if you have any sort of dings on your credit, not everybody knows what's going to be on their credit sometimes.
Right.
You got medical collections, things that pop up sometimes that you're unaware of. We recommend starting at least 6 months out and meeting with your lender. That way, if there's anything that needs to be fixed with your credit, or if there's any sort of budgeting or planning that we need to do to make sure you fit into the loan parameters and guidelines, you know, we can start planning for it then. In my opinion, the earlier the better. If it's 12 months out, you know, that's a great thing, because it just gives you extra time to really plan for things.
No, I mean, and I agree wholeheartedly on that. It just seems that, you know, people make these decisions, they walk into them, and then they get forced into either by, not saying the realtors or anybody else, it's just, it's life.
Yeah.
Part of it's timing, right? They've been looking, like Ryan told us, they've been looking for...
He's been looking, let's take like Ryan, I mean, Ryan was having me meet him at these houses and saying, okay, what's my budget? Well, dude, I just walked in the freaking place. What do you want, right?
Well, I'll confess, I'm guilty of that too, because I did the same thing with you.
I know. I wasn't going to mention you. We've already got your in-laws in trouble with you, man. So.
But I think to you guys' point that, you know, it's critical to walk before you run. You know, the old adage about the dad bull and then Papa bull sitting on the top of the cliff. And it's very important to take your time. This is you're building your dream house.
Yes.
You're building, you're taking time, you're spending money. Just because you're borrowing the money doesn't mean that's real money you're putting in. That's borrowed money. It's even more of a reason for you to slow down. It's not your own cash. You're borrowing someone else's money to do this.
Right.
So slow down, do what's right, take your time. Mike's point, 6 months before, people know they're going to have an inkling, hey, we may want to look at doing something.
Right.
That's when you start. Our actual process timing, you need to start about 60 days prior to your intended closing. And you need to have plans, specs, and budgets before we could even do anything.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it's funny. To me, it's like I think that all of our roles in this industry is to educate. Because this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just hit it right on the hip. This is borrowed money.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to go in there and you want to just let your emotions get the best of you and make these crazy ass decisions that you can't possibly back up with the money you're going to get. You know, if you're just hurting yourself.
I'm going to give you an example. I had a guy that was doing a new construction loan. It was a rehab, three flat, deconverted to a single family, about a $600,000 budget. Everything's clicking along, and he got fixated on his stereo and entertainment system. Next thing you know, he starts putting in change orders. Well, I could get bigger speakers, but I just need soundproofing in the walls and this and that. $75,000 for his home theater.
Yep.
Crazy.
Guess how often he used it?
Probably twice.
Super Bowl? Once a year?
Three times. Guess how much his kitchen was? $50,000. Guess how much he used that?
Every day.
Yeah.
People got to be smart about how you spend your money.
Well, exactly. You know, and that's one of the funny things also in the city of Chicago, because we're walking into these old buildings that are 3 to 4 bricks thick. Right, that sometimes, you know, the exterior is going nowhere. You know, you can do minor cosmetic things to exteriors and not rack up huge money, but some people want it.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, guys.
You know, we've seen a lot of what I've seen a lot of in the construction, and we do very few of them, but we've seen it where they're taking a frame and they're bricking over the frame,
right?
Because there's a, you know, allegedly true value in brick over frame. I disagree with it, but the consumer's right when it comes to what they want.
Yeah.
Right. But we are here to educate. We're here to protect them from themselves and make sure that we give them the best advice we can to make sure they get into a solid transaction. Because once again, the whole business is getting referrals for the work that we do. And if we get bad advice, we get bad counseling, we don't give people good direction, we're not going to get more business.
Right. Now, are you guys going to participate on the 24th? We've got that roof deck event. That we've got Wintrust Commercial and we've got Wintrust Residential going to be involved, and we will, you know, maybe you guys get up, give us 10, 15 minutes there. It's with the Home Builders Association that we're members of.
It's your guys' event. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm going to give you an hour.
No, no.
You're going to have to.
No, we're done then. We're done then. Ryan, you got any more questions?
Or what questions did we didn't ask you?
Yeah, what would you guys think we need to ask?
Can you recommend for clients, or? Yeah, you guys were very detailed with. Is there anything you see commonly that from clients walking in trying to?
One thing that I'd caution people about that, you know, we need to be careful about is over-improving of homes.
Amen.
And the reason is we've appraisals in this marketplace aren't getting easier. Values, even though it's a tight market, they say for the buyers, when you start to get into the 800, 900, 1 million, 1.5 million range, there's inventory out there. Especially in that $1.5 million single family home in the city. You start to go to the western suburbs and you don't want to build this $2 million Taj Mahal. Problem is, there has to be comps. Remember, comps are historical. They go backwards.
Yes, they do.
So you have these single family homes that people are building and they're not appraising out. Meaning when we do our future value construction loan, and that's going to require more equity, or they got to dial back the project. So that's one of the things I really want to caution people about.
Yeah.
Over-improving.
Same thing we caution them about.
And I'd like to comment on that, too. I mean, that's where I like working with you guys.
Yeah.
Because, we had a client the other day I sent you out to see.
Yeah,
yeah, this is an amazing story.
She had talked to two other contractors. Both of them acted like it was going to be a no-brainer to do. And this has been a client of mine for life. I mean, I've worked with her my entire career.
Right.
And, with Pat's expertise on the real estate side and being able to really look at the market, he went out. All she was looking for was a straight answer. I mean, had we gone with the other two contractors' advice, we would have been stuck in a really bad spot when the appraisal came out and she spent a bunch of money on architectural work and plans and specs, and she could have been 15 grand in the hole.
Right.
So
it's better to be safe.
It's better to be safe. And Pat gave you gave her the right answer. She was happy with it.
Yeah.
She's going to wait and wait put things on the back burner until the spring. Wait till better comps come out. To John's point, it's all about the comps, making sure you're not over improving and having the nicest house on the block that's not going to appraise out for you.
By the way, it's okay to have the nicest house on the block, and it's okay for not to appraise out. Because if you're building a dream house, that's what it is. But you better have the cash equity to back it up.
What's the right mentality? Just like you said at the beginning of this show, everybody wants $200,000 in equity. Sometimes it's just not there. Sometimes you're in such a desirable neighborhood.
I'm running into that. We've got a mutual client as well. We're looking for a two flat to turn into a single family.
It's been
9 months. You can't find what it is, where they want it. So you just keep looking and trying to find that needle in a haystack. But
at some point in time, they...
They're going to give in, and they're going to either overpay or they're going to find what they want. That's it. Or they'll just...
They'll make another decision.
And that may be the right decision, just like you've got Ryan here. Yeah. His decision was the right decision. He waited, he got frustrated, but he kept going, and he found something.
Right.
Yeah, and to your point, it's life events. Not to blow it, they're having a baby, they needed a place to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rush came from, oh, we're having a baby, we need to go. Not much you can do about it. Yeah, the baby's going to come no matter what. But your point of view is, you got to take a step back. You got to look at the macro level, and you got to look at see all the metrics in the marketplace and make sure what you're doing is a smart financial decision. Because if you don't buy right, it's very difficult in this market.
Well, right. I mean, Ryan and I were on our podcast last week. We were talking about it. It's those decisions coming in. You know, it really is
100%.
You know, it's the decision walking into it. It's coming into it sober and non-emotional. You know,
which is hard to do.
Which is very hard to do. Yeah. This is a house. A house is nothing but emotion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the philosophy the house picks the person. The person doesn't pick the house.
Yeah.
So it's even more emotionally tied in. Like I said, I just closed
that on my business card.
Yeah. Now I don't take my line.
One other feature I wanted to mention that's really nice too about construction to perm loans and. Well, first off, make sure you always are working with someone that's got experience doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask them how much experience they have. How many of these have they closed? Too many people are trying to do these right now, and it's
from a lender's perspective, too many loan
officers are trying to do these, and this you're probably their third or fourth transaction, and it's just it's a raging nightmare. So it's super important to be with someone with experience. The other nice thing that's really great about construction of perm financing. Is we can actually use them to finance your lot.
Yeah.
So lot loans right now are tough to come by.
Yeah.
You're gonna find them few and far between.
50% max.
50% down on a lot loan. We'll actually provide our construction loan as long as you have everything ready to go to build on it. We'll help you. We'll do the acquisition for the lot. It'll be tied in with the construction
loan.
Right.
So you get that for 15% down,
And
Mike brought up a really good point, which is. If you're rehabbing your own house, let's say that I've lived here for 5 years, or in our case, you only need to be for 12 months, we'll actually use the future value of your property as completed. So if you're going to go ahead and add a second floor and it now comps out for $800,000, that's the value that we're going to use, not your land cost plus acquisition. We're going to use the future value of your property, which means you could literally get into rehabbing your own house for no money down.
Right, because you could have the equity in the land and what you want to pay.
And then the future value.
Correct.
Okay. So that's a critical thing.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
So we gotta get you guys some more clients to go over. No money down financing.
No money down. Man, I haven't done those in a while. Well, thanks, guys.
Where can people find you?
If they're
looking for a lender out there, where can they find you?
So John Goldman, you could go to John Goldman, johngoldmanloans.com. That's JONGOLDMAN loans, plural.com.
And I'm at mikeblackloans.com. Mike Black over at Wintrust. And
you can Google either of us, John Goldman, Mike Black. We're easily available. Wintrust Mortgage.
Yeah. Or you can ask Ryan or I.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you guys having us.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Appreciate it very much.
For more information, you can check us out at sghomebuilders.com. Thanks so much.